What a powerful name it is. The name that is above every other name. The name by which no person could be saved. The name that is the way, the truth, and the life. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That name, Jesus. It's a powerful name. It's a powerful name. It is so good to have Rose Crook with us today. God bless you. Rose goes this Wednesday for her last chemotherapy treatment. And we're praying for that it's going to be effective and everything is good. But here's the deal. God's doing a work. The name of Jesus. We have been praying for Rose in the name of Jesus for the cancer to be taken away and gone. Cheryl, we are praying in the powerful and strong name of Jesus for your healing. And we're rejoicing with you for what God has done for you for all of eternity. We're going to pray for the here and right now too. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, I would love to be... Frank, can I get you a chair? Okay. All right. I would love to be preaching to you an inspiring message of God's strength and power and a message of God's mercy and grace and His redeeming love for us. But for some reason, the Lord has been on me for a little while to preach this message. And so I'm just going to trust it to the Lord and let Him do with it what He wants to do with it. I'm going to be faithful and obedient to do what... Okay. This is not a sermon that this is not a subject that I enjoy preaching on. But here's the deal. Newsflash. It's about tithing. Okay. But here's the deal. Jesus, there are more words attributed to Jesus Christ about money than about heaven, about sin, about salvation in the Bible. He talked about money more than anything else. And if I neglected or did not bring this to you, I would be neglecting the Word of God and not teaching the entire Word of God. And I don't want to be guilty of that. So, here we go. Questions that have been raised. Why do I need to give to the church? Isn't the church there to give to me? I want you to listen to how selfish that sounds. Does the church really exist for us, or do we really exist for the church? I mean, think about it. The church is the body of Christ, and we are to live for Christ as Christians, right? Okay. So we exist for Christ, but the church is limited when Christians don't support the work of the church. Well, the church made me mad, so I'm going to withhold my tithe. Show them. What you need to understand is that vindictive spirit is not ultimately hurting the church. It's an outright attack against God Himself. And maybe you don't have a clear understanding of what your tithe does in the church, and I want to help clear up some of those things today. Do you like coming here and having the air conditioner on? Do you like having lights, being able to flush the toilet, having toilet paper? Okay. Do you like having coffee and plates to eat on when we have fellowships? To those that come to Sunday school, do you like having material to use and to study throughout the week? Do you having chairs to sit on? Do you like having chairs? Do you like the carpet under your feet? Do you like that the carpet is vacuumed and that the trash is taken out and the bathrooms are cleaned each week? Does it matter to you that the grass gets mowed? Is it important that we give people Bibles? For those of you that don't know, if anybody comes here and says, I don't have a Bible, they leave with a Bible. Free of charge. Is it important that we do that? You need a Bible? I've got one in my office. Don't leave today until I put one in your hands. It's one of the most important things we can do is to minister, to give, and just be the church that God has called us to be. When something breaks, do you want to see it get repaired and fixed? This last week, one of the air conditioners in the children's center, the coil just rusted out and collapsed, and it just water was pouring through the ceiling. Okay? Well, we had to call the air conditioner guy. They came out. They fixed the air conditioner part, Gary has been up here and fixed the ceiling. It's almost completely fixed in there. Before long, you're not even going to know anything happened. Do y'all like having things repaired? Okay, well, those things cost money too. Should we send kids to youth camp? Should we send kids to preteen camp? Should we have VBS in the summer? Do you think we need to have insurance on the buildings in case of disaster? You see, a lot of people think those things just happen. They just magically appear out of the air somewhere. Some people even think that the preacher gets the money. I can assure you that's not the case. I can also assure you that at least 10% of my salary comes back to the church in the form of a tithe. And if you're a skeptic about that, I will give our financial people permission to share my personal giving with you. I don't look at the records. I don't know who gives what. I've told our financial people that monitor that stuff and keep track of that so that you can have a record of it at the end of the year. I've told them, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. But what I do know is we're lacking. And somehow, some way, we've got to repair that a little bit. I believe that the one you're giving to is the only one who needs to know. You're not giving to me. You're not even actually giving to the church. You're giving to God. But even that statement's not actually accurate. Okay? We're not actually giving to God. More precisely, we are returning to God a 10% of what He has given us to manage. But see, until you see Him as the source, you'll see it as your money. Luke chapter 16. And I believe we have all of these verses that will be on the screen for you. 10 through 13 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Those things that are entrusted to us by God are not really ours. They belong to the Lord. And He has seen fit to place us in charge of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, "It is required by stewards, that a man be found faithful." Faithful. See, it's a matter of faithfulness. It's not a requirement. I mean, it is a requirement. It's not a request. There are many, many verses in the Bible that are requirements, okay? We call them imperatives. That's a statement. It's a declarative statement. Do this. Do this. You will do this. And it's a requirement. And this is one of those things that's a requirement. They're God's expectations for us. We, as people of God, we are stewards. And that's a fact we cannot ignore. Steward just basically means managers. God has blessed us with income. He's blessed us with whatever we have, it all comes from Him. The air you breathe comes from God. You could not exist without God. So whatever you have is His. He supplied it. It's His. Some people only want to give partial service to God. They only want to give partial stewardship to the Lord. They only want to here's my offering. I love you. Thank you for saving me for all of eternity. Here's a cup of coffee, basically, to the Lord. And I think the Lord is saying, well, I'd like some coconut cream pie with that coffee. I don't know why coconut cream pie always comes up in my messages, but is it not safe to say that if you give half-hearted service to the Lord, you're robbing Him of something? It is robbery to withhold from God the things that actually belong to Him. It's robbery to withhold from God our love. It's robbery to withhold the time that He wants us to devote to Him. It's robbery to withhold from God money or anything else of which we are stewards of. I'd like us to concentrate on the money aspect of our stewardship today rather than time or love, although we may come back to those at some later date. I want to share just a few basic principles about tithing. Tithing is an aspect of the Old Testament that we are still required to obey. Actually, still required to obey today. The ceremonial things of the law, we don't observe anymore. I mean, we don't bring lambs to the altar today and sacrifice them and burn offerings, right? We're not required to do those things, but the aspects of the law that we are required to observe include this: holiness. The law of holiness is an Old Testament law, but we didn't throw it out when we entered in this new covenant with Jesus Christ. We didn't throw out the old the statement that says, when God said, "Be holy as I am holy." We don't say, "Well, that's Old Testament stuff. We don't need that." We don't need to be that anymore. Romans chapter 12 tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. We are not freed from the Old Testament command to be holy. Okay? Nor are we freed from the law of obedience. Both the Old and the New Testaments teach us that to know God's will is to be accountable to it. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Now, tithing is also an Old Testament command that has not passed away. And the Old Testament has significant things to say about the law of finances. Did you know that tithing did not originate under the law? Did not. Some people say, "Well, the Lord doesn't really care if I tithe or not because that was under the law and the old covenant has passed away." Well, it is true that tithing is under the law, but it's not only under the law, nor is it where tithing began. Tithing of resources to the work of God started way before Moses was even born. The patriarchs were tithers before the Lord, before this law was ever given. Genesis 14:20 says this: "And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 says, "A tenth of everything belongs to God." The truth is, everything belongs to God. He just wants us to return a tenth back to Him. From the Old to the New Testament, we discover that everything really belongs to God, and that we are stewards or managers of that which He has entrusted to us. Now the old devil, he's a scheming, sneaky, sly old fox. And he comes up with all kinds of ideas why we don't really have to pay any attention to that stuff. He gives us all kinds of reasons we don't have to tithe. Now I assume that everyone here desires to obey God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'd hate for somebody to feel left out. I believe that everyone has good intentions to tithe, but in January, well, I have to pay for the stuff that I bought in December for Christmas. I can't tithe. I have bills to pay. February, fuel bills. The car needs maintenance. I can't tithe in February. March, well, next month's taxes, and I have to save up money to pay for my taxes. I can't do that. April, you have to buy Easter clothes. May, there may be too much rain on the crops, and you have to be careful about your giving. Don't want to run short. June, it didn't rain enough. I don't have extra to tithe. There's a misunderstanding in that statement there. See, God didn't say tithe on your extra. If I have anything left, I'll tithe on that. God says, "Hey, the first fruits. I want the very best. I want the very best and the first." July, vacation month. I got to save up for my vacation. I can't tithe in June. August, well, I spent more on my vacation than I intended to, so I have to pay those bills. My credit cards are maxed out. September, I can't tithe because the kids are headed back to school and I got to buy new school clothes. October, now it's getting colder and we need winter coats and jackets and clothing, and probably there's going to be a doctor in there somewhere with colds and flu type stuff. November, trip to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving cost money. I had to pay to get there, and got there, and the turkey was burnt, so we had to go buy a new turkey and all that. You know, I can't tithe. December, Christmas starts all over again. You see, the devil comes up with many excuses. The enemy will give you an excuse all the time for not giving to the Lord what actually belongs to Him. And if you think you can't afford to tithe, I got news for you. You can't afford not to. Obedient tithing comes with a promise of blessing. And that's a good reason to tithe. But it also has to do with obedience. Are we going to obey God? Or do we think we know of a better way? I have a clip. How many of you have ever seen the movie called Shenandoah with Jimmy Stewart? Great movie. I love this movie. I want to show you this clip real quick. It's I think it's called the Unthanksgiving Prayer. If you've seen the movie, you may be familiar with it. He sits down to pray over their meal. If they can get it pulled up. If they can get it. Is it not going to happen? It's real short. Uh-oh, got to have some sound.
We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested.
Rewind it. Do it again.
It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here.
Crank up that volume.
We done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food. Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen.
Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it up. We planted the crops. We watered it. We tended to it. We harvested it. Wouldn't be here if we hadn't done all the work ourselves. Nonetheless, we thank you just the same. Amen. That's pretty ungrateful, isn't it? That's somebody that's saying, I did all of this. It is mine. I'll give you due credit. Well, thank you for whatever. But you see, what he failed to realize is, where did he get the strength to plow the ground? Where did he get the implements to plow the ground? Where did he get the children to help him plow? Where did he get the ground? Good thinking. It's all a gift from God. And to be grateful, to be appreciative, is to be obedient. You got to ignore the devil and his arguments and all his lies. And how do we do that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And then the devil will not have an opportunity to lie to you. You won't worry about the future so much. There's a second biblical principle I want to take you to. Tithers avoid curses. The Word of God warns us that failing to give to God what is due Him. Let me just read it. Haggai chapter 1. It's a lengthy passage here. Verses 4 through 11 says, it is a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses. Let me start over. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? He's talking about the temple. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're never warm. You earn wages, only to put them into a purse with holes in it. And this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down some timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because my house, which remains in ruins, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else on the ground produces, on people and livestock, and all the labor of your hands. That's a curse. The very simple message is this. You need to be careful to take care of the things God told us to take care of to avoid the curse upon your life. Don't misunderstand me. God's not the big guy with the big lightning bolt just waiting to zap us. Okay? But he says, I've given you some very simple instructions. Some very clear instructions. Everything you have belongs to me. You wouldn't have it if it weren't for me. I've given it to you. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly light. And what God says is, look, I'm going to ask you to be obedient and just return to me a portion of what I've blessed you with. You see, a lot of people say, I have to give 10% to God. What they fail to realize is 100% of what they have came from God to begin with. And God says, keep 90%. How many of you think 90% is good? God says, keep 90%. You see, it's a whole different mindset. Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. You see, the warning there to us is that we are guilty of robbing God, the tenth of our increase. Now, verse 10 is good because it says that we have a blessing. Verse 10 says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord our God. But you don't hear this very often. You don't hear God very often saying, you can test me, check me out, put me to the test in this. He says, see if I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so many blessings on you that there won't be enough room to contain it. Of course, another blessing of tithing is just the joy of being trusted by God. I'm a steward of what God has given me. And it's good to know that God trusts me. He gives to you and me an entire check. Every month or every 2 weeks, remember every good and perfect gift comes to the Lord? He gives your entire check and He trusts you to give back from that check your tithe and offerings. He trusts you. Now the federal government probably trusts you just as much, right? No, they get their portion out before you ever get the check. It's more than 10%. They take their share out before you ever get the check. I'm sure you're wishing that they would not do that so you'd have a chance to prove to them that you can be trusted and send in every penny of every tax dollar without them telling you that you have to do it. There is joy in realizing that God trusts me. And I don't want to betray His trust. I want to be faithful with the small and the big things. Some people think that what they have is not a gift from God because they worked for it. How many of you have worked for something? Come on. Yeah, I have too. They fail to realize that the ability to work is a gift from God as well. Whether we work for it, receive it as a gift, receive it as obligation from another person, receive it from the government, wherever it comes from, God is the giver of all things. And when we realize that He is a source of everything, that everything belongs to Him, then we begin to understand the tithe. The truth is that if we call ourselves Christians and have asked Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior, and we have given ourselves to Him, then we're not our own. Let us not be guilty of taking ownership of ourselves back from God and claiming anything. God is so good. He's generous. He says, look at all I've given you. Look at all I've done for you. Show me your appreciation and return a tenth that the storehouses may be full. When we talk about storehouses, I think about Bibles. I think about Bibles. Bibles are important to give out. We give out Bibles. Food. We have the food pantry. We have things like that, when people are needy and they're down and out and they need a hand up, we do that, we use the resources that God has provided through the tithes and offerings to show the love of Jesus Christ. Is that important that we do that? It's important that we do that. Folks, not my favorite topic. Oh, but it's so important. It's so important because it's our chance and our opportunity to show God that we can be trusted. It's our opportunity to show God, Lord, I understand what you have done for me. And let me just tell you what you've done for me. You saw that I am guilty of sin. That is something that displeases you. You reached out and said, that is wrong. The punishment for that is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. How's that happen? Jesus said, there's no way you could ever pay for that. It's capital punishment. There's no way you could ever pay for that. Your best sacrifice is not good enough. Only a perfect sacrifice is good enough, and I have the only perfect sacrifice. God could have said, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, you're out of luck. Sorry, you messed up, and we have. But he said this, I love you so much. I'm going to give the very best that I have because it does settle the debt. I'm going to give you my son, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to let him pay the price for you. That was the gift of God. God has done that for you. What does all that mean for me? Well, what it means is that one day when I draw my last breath, my very next breath is in the presence of God Almighty. How long? Forever. Forever. That's a long time. That's a really long time. We have no idea how long forever is. 88 years is a long time, isn't it, Dad? Dad'll be 88 this year. That's a long time. Not a drop in the bucket for all of eternity. When we receive the gift that Jesus Christ has given us, we get to spend eternity with Him. When we choose not to receive that gift and put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and give our life to Him the way He gave His life to us, then we spend our eternity separated from Jesus Christ. The only place that is separated from Jesus Christ is hell itself. Not a place I want to be. But because I took advantage of that great offer, I am forever grateful to my Father. How grateful? I owe Him everything. But all He asked for is 10%. So will I be guilty of withholding 10%? Not on your life. Not on your life. I enjoy blessings. Okay? But it's not just for the blessings that I give. I give it not out of a sense of obligation. I give it out of a sense of gratitude. I love Him for what He did for me. I will not fail to show Him my appreciation. You see, Jesus Christ saves us. Saves us. Do we owe Him something? Absolutely we do. We owe Him our entire lives. Entire lives. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before You today. And Lord, we just say thank You for the clear instructions in Your Word that tell us how to be obedient to You. Father, now it's on us. Do we choose to be obedient or do we not? So Lord, I pray that we would choose obedience. I pray that we would choose to honor You, not with just our speech and our lifestyle, but Father, with every aspect of our lives, including our finances. Lord, I know that I know that I know that I could get person after person in this room to stand up and testify about the blessings of being obedient financially. And those are great things, Lord. And we thank You that You promised a blessing to us when we're obedient to You. But Father, if You chose to never bless me again, I would still be obedient because of what You've already done. I don't have to look forward. I can look back and see what You've done, and I'm forever grateful. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand true gratitude and our reasonable expression of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, this is not a great inspirational sermon. This is not the message of the gospel, but But folks, it's foundational. It's the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Word of God in its totality is useful for teaching and training and rebuking and correcting. This is one of those things we need to be taught about. If you're a guest, we don't always talk about money. Matter of fact, I can't remember the last time I preached on it because the church has been so good. It may be that we're where we are now because I've not been faithful to teach on it periodically. I won't make that mistake again if that's the case. But folks, the Bible is the Bible. From Genesis to Revelations. Let's study it all. I'm not sure exactly what the Lord has spoken to you through that message today. Maybe you have found that there is a God that loves me and He gave me so much. Now I can be forever grateful. Maybe it's inspired you to just profess His name as your Lord and Savior. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you've become convicted. Maybe about not being faithful with the tithe and you want to correct that. And folks, listen, here's the deal. This is the time that we offer. It's called the invitation time. It's called the altar call, the time of response. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here and stand with me. She does this with me every week. We're a partnership. We're a team. We do almost everything together. If you would like for one of us or both of us to pray with you, we're here for you. But here's the truth. You don't need us. We're not your high priest. I'm not your high priest. Jesus Christ is your high priest. You can come and kneel at the altar, get straight to Jesus Christ, tell Him your woes, your troubles, your wants, your desires, tell Him how grateful you are to Him. But this is your time to respond. And if the Spirit has tugged at your heart and you want to respond, we're here. The altar is open. This is your time. But let me encourage you this, like I say frequently, don't leave this place the same way you walked in. Let's do business with Jesus Christ today. As we stand, would you stand and sing?